see you coming back in here with ducky jumpsies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jumpsies.
How could anybody go and sit in a pint with those boys after that?
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Hello, what's the crack? Welcome to the Three Man Weave, the Boz at EGA podcast. Mark Farley, how are you?
I'm spent, Morris. I'm bet out, lad. Between, like, I don't know what we're at organising the Avengers Endgame and the Battle of Winterfell during Club Month. It's already busy enough as it is without these two monumental events as well. I've seen in the last, since we've last podcasted together, I've had two football matches. I've seen Avengers Endgame twice. I've watched Game of Thrones Battle of Winterfell. And we've recorded a podcast this morning, on the player ratings. Myself, Mick, and Donny Mahoney have put them together. So I'm podcasted out, I'm Game of Thrones out, I'm Avengers out, and I'm Club Month out.
Do you know, it's funny you say that, right? Because GAL was on last night, the Dara Con Éireann programme, and a huge amount of GAA representative voices and authority figures speaking. And the whole time I was watching it, not one of them addressed the Avengers Game of Thrones clash. And it's like, just their head is in this cloud, lads. Yeah. Just don't understand it. Mick McCarthy, how are you?
I sit here every week and wait 10 minutes to be introduced onto a podcast, of which I am one of the three people in a three-man weave, as Mark Farley waffles on about some old shite that's on his mind, and I'm feckin' sick of it.
But you know,
and I won't be putting up with it next week, and you, if you don't introduce me first next week, I'll be walking out that door.
But what you need to realise is, right, that as anyone who is familiar with the three-man weave knows, the final component is the most important one. That's the man who kicks the score. So yeah. As you finish off the weave, you're the one who receives the ball and kicks the score. So you're actually the most vital component of all. So it's actually a compliment.
Well, that actually is also up for debate, because in some ways, you have to fall back to Morris.
That's what I was thinking.
And yeah, and in a lot of weaves, there's always like, let's get two hand passes in, lads, two hand passes. And which means you have, this is where the three-man weave makes no sense. You have to slow up in order to get the two hand passes in, and it's like, but surely that isn't what you should be doing in the game. You don't practice fast hands and moving at speed by slowing up, because, well, we said we had to get two passes in, and even though we're in scoring or shooting zone, let's not shoot.
If you think this intro was waffly, wait until you hear our outlandish predictions for the summer coming ahead, because that's coming up on this show today. We're also going to chat to Liam Gavigan, a friend of the show. We spoke to him last year, the London captain, ahead of a pretty big weekend for them as they welcome Galway. There is also obviously New York and Mayo are playing again this weekend, because Gaelic football is back, lads. Yeah. County football is back with the championship coming up.
Liam from London, I think important to point out for anyone who missed him on last year's show, and just wanted, like, something that is still a little bit kind of jarring when you're talking to Gaelic football to someone who actually has like a thick London accent, which I think is just the best thing in the world and should be the case for as many London and New York players as possible.
And as well as that, like the novelty of that, there's also the fact that, I mean, maybe it's an added thing to that, is the ability, because he's a top class midfielder. You see the scores that he's kicking, Irish World are constantly tweeting them out, and you see these kind of outrageous long distance scores that he's kicking. He kind of reminds me small of Gary Brennan, actually, that kind of rangy midfielder. But we'll catch up with him after their own league campaign and what's kind of coming. It's funny, like, when you think about London, I always think about the 2011 game when they played Mayo and nearly beat them, probably should have beaten them, and the ramifications that had for that Mayo team. Like, that was James Horan's first game. He could have been out in the qualifiers against London, what that would have meant for him. It's probably, like, to my mind, it's one of the kind of most underappreciated games of this decade in terms of what it meant for that Mayo team. You get, in terms of forging them, and also them going ahead to be one of the dominant figures.
Yeah, Mayo went on that year and then knocked out regular Ireland champions Dublin as well in the quarterfinal.
Knocked out Kerry. Dublin weren't all Ireland champions.
Oh, so Dublin won that year, was it?
Yeah,
2011.
They knocked out Cork, who were all Ireland champions in the quarterfinal. Sorry, we were both confused.
And then they played Kerry in the semi, wasn't it?
Yeah. Darren O'Sullivan that was against the same year, but against Limerick in the quarterfinal. Darren O'Sullivan got the backheel kick. Shut up, Mick.
Mayo went on to be very good that year.
They beat the All-Ireland champions, and that kicked on a run in which they would be in the 2012 All-Ireland final, 2013 All-Ireland final, the 2014 semi-final lost in a replay, 2015 semi-final lost in a replay, 2016 final. I actually do know that up, because that is, and 2017 All-Ireland final, which they would lose in a replay as well, or maybe I'm missing up one of the replays, but anyway, that is because it is one of the most remarkable runs of all time that they got without success. They lost to the All-Ireland champions 6 years in a row and, you know, lost in a replay how many of those times? I think four, you know, and it's just they didn't win the All-Ireland, probably the best group of, the best team to never win an All-Ireland. That match I listened to on the radio. And I remember, no, I don't know if I was listening so much on the radio so much as like I was listening to the radio as this was unfolding. And they were like going over to a reporter, like, you know, like, what's going on? Are Mayo going to get back into this? Is this going to be the biggest shock in, you know, championship history?
Yeah.
And it did feel like it was going to happen. I think people might forget that because ultimately you see the result
came,
and you see a kind of a whatever the score was, you don't realise. They really, really nearly lost that match. And it's, I wonder, is it one of the great what ifs? Like, because would Mayo have brought themselves through the qualifiers? Would they have got to the All-Ireland final the following year? Would they have gone on the run that I'm saying, that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it, and something that, so what if? I think James Horn actually said that after the game, talked about just how much it rattled them and what it meant that they kind of got through that in terms of forging something. And I suppose it kind of, it provoked a response that went on to have the year they did and also become the team that they did as well after that. It's funny you talked about listening to games on the radio because you're going to have to get used to it this summer. So, in all year we've been hearing the lower counties kind of give out about the fact that they're afraid of the coverage that would be afforded to them if there's a two tiers in Gaelic football. So to ally those fears, the GAA have decided that no Gaelic football games will be broadcast this summer.
Well, so the GAA haven't decided necessarily, have they?
No, they haven't. So RTÉ announced their TV schedule for the coming summer, and they're going to have the four finals in Connacht, Munster, Leinster and Ulster. That'll be shown over an 8-day period between the 16th and the 23rd of June. But the only other game that they're going to show is the Ulster semi-final on the 8th of June. So added to that, you're going to get a Connacht semi-final from Sky Sports. But what it means is that for the months of May and June,
you're also going to get an Ulster Championship first round clash between Cavan and Monaghan on Sky Sports. Don't forget that one.
The most important of all, yes. some might say. One of the three of us might say. Not me.
And a few qualifiers kind of as things go on, and then obviously all the games from the Super 8s on. It's just an interesting debate as to whether that's okay or not, like, because it's very little football early in the year, but it is also, there is a lot of, like, you know, real, like, All-Ireland champion, All-Ireland final possibility clashes in the hurling all the way through that. Whereas we know that the provincial football, the provincial championships in football are boring and one-sided and predictable and nothing happens in them. So it kind of, like, you do understand where the TV companies are coming from in selecting the hurling games over the football.
Yeah, see, so my counter-argument to that, right, is that, like, there's obviously, there's the biggest issue from my own perspective is that for some reason it's viewed as a competition, hurling against Gaelic football, you know, like one versus the other. And I actually really don't like that. I think the issue is, it's like sport, as it's broadcast, and especially as if you're a TV broadcaster, it's all about perception. So if you think back to last year, like last year, well, let's take Graham Brody, for example, Mark. Like, last year, the two of us were thinking, why doesn't anybody else recognise that Graham Brody is probably deserving of winning an All-Star this year? And if you think back to it, really, really think back to it, he played against Monaghan in the quarterfinal. His best performance of all was the game against Carlow. The only game that was telefied was the game against Dublin. So nobody else was aware of that. So if you think back to last year, just for example, like, think about the New York Leitrim game, how excited we all were when that game was on the radio. Think back to Laois Wexford that was going to extra time. That was when Brody was up marching up the field. Offaly Wicklow, Kildare Carlow when Carlow turned them over. Think back to the Tyrone Monaghan game when McManus kicked a point from the sideline. Think back to the Derry Kildare game, which Kildare nearly went out and ended up going over and beating Mayo after that, which obviously that game was on television. It was a great game. Long for Kildare was another cracker. Offaly Clare, obviously Paul Rouse is on the show talking to us about that game. The theme about all those brilliant games is that none of them are on television. None of them. So I think that it's not that they're not broadcasting games, it's that they're broadcasting the wrong games.
I got to let Mark come in there, but it's important to say that of all of those games you mentioned, every single one of them except for the one that was on TV, Tyrone-Monaghan's the only one that would have been on TV in any other year. If they had 100 games, they wouldn't be shown Offaly and Clare.
My point isn't that they should... My argument as a whole, right, my argument isn't that they should stop showing the hurling games. They should absolutely show all the hurling games. But the contract that the GAA negotiated without considering that the Super 8 is going to take away from this early portion of the year was nonsensical. And because it was nonsensical, they should have renegotiated that and incorporated a TG Cahir and Virgin Media into a deal where they could broadcast those games. And the fact that there's this obsession about gate receipts, like there's this thing about that maybe it'll affect gates if they start broadcasting these lower tier games. The perfect example of that, the perfect counter argument to that is the League of Ireland, where you get over 6,500 people to watch Rovers play during midweek this week in a Dublin derby. And the game is sold out, and it's also on television. Like the counterpoint, that's the perfect counter argument. Like the all that should happen is that those tier of games should be broadcast, and should be broadcast on a different broadcast. Yeah,
there's a time when Leeds are always in the news these days for a lot of off the field or on the or controversial on the field situations. But there was one where Massimo Cellino was nearly not going to play a game in protest because he was sick of games always being on Sky Sports, all the Leeds games. And it turned out that their highest attendances of the year also coincided with the games that were on television.
Yeah.
Because games that, funny enough, games that people are interested in generate higher attendance and viewing figures together. It's not something that...
Yeah, and it's a perception thing as well, because if a game is being built up all week by a television company to tell you how big it is, then more people are going to be interested and go to it, you know, and think that this might be a big deal. And here's, I've been listening to bloody previews of this all week, I want to go and see what's going on with it. That is absolutely, like, if you know, that is one of the problems with the Football Provincial Championships not being televised, of which I'm slightly defending, is that, like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they don't want to, you know, if we're going to say that they don't matter, they don't go on TV, then they're not going to matter. They're going to...
Yeah,
you know, well, who's going to bother going to them?
Like? At the end of the day, I know what you're saying, you're coming from Morris, but I don't think that's an argument for this week, because the GA of that TV deal, that's been set in stone since last year, since the Super
Bowl. Before that, yeah.
Yes, but as in terms of not being renegotiated. So at the minute, I don't see any game standing out in Football Championship that really needs to be televised over the hurling games. I know you're saying you don't want to choose between football and hurling, but the reality is you have to, because they only have a set amount of games and they're on at the same time for the games.
It's also just lopsided competitions, the way they've done them, is that the football is all designed at the moment towards the end of the championship, in which we will be, you know, we won't be able to breed for the amount of football that will be on TV. It's not like it'll all be hurling all the time. Like, the hurling will dominate the early stages of the championship. That goes away and really finishes up pretty early, and we have kind of more or less a full football summer these days.
Four provincial football championships. Dublin are going to win one, Kerry are going to win the other. The only competitive games that you can see happening in Connacht are Mayo against Galway and Mayo against Roscommon. Mayo against Roscommon is going to be televised. In Ulster, it's Cavan Monaghan, Donegal Tyrone. The four of them are kind of standouts, and Donegal against Tyrone is on RTE and Cavan Monaghan's on Sky. So they're televised as well. So aside from that, like, maybe the winners of Cavan Monaghan against Armagh could be a good game. Is it Armagh Down,
yeah,
which could be a good game, but at the same time, like, it's not.
Yeah, Donegal Fermanagh as well, like, you know,
last year's final, like, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, I would argue that Donegal and Fermanagh is a game with the storyline in it with Gallagher and everything like that. It's a game that should probably be televised, but, like, I'm not saying I'd be keen enough to watch it either. You know,
the other thing is, in what are we saying, that we should just televise the Ulster Championship and to hell with the rest?
No, because I think, like, you get a repeat of the Division 3 final between Laois and Westmeath, which again I think is set up to be a really entertaining game. The only point I'm trying to make is that there is unheralded stories and things that we're missing out on because they're not on television, and the fact, like, you can obviously go to the games, but I just think that what it would do for Gaelic football, if, for example, last year everybody knew who Mark Jackson was, who kicked not seven in a qualifier from goals.
I don't know how many people would watch them, though, you know, because you are talking about those hurling games still being on, you're talking about just a feeling that, like, here, like, I don't think you should televise everything either, and it's not just about gate receipts. Sometimes it is just about, like, these early stages of the championship, like, you know, a better Sunday game, or a better, like, a more match of the day style Sunday game, where we're properly breaking this down, we're giving real highlights and not just kind of like points, and it's like properly edited. That's what I think is needed way more than live games, actually. But that's not addressed in this either.
And the other thing is, like, there's been so many Ulster Senior Football Championship preliminary round games, but it used to be the first televised match on RTE, and that would just mean that you were guaranteed the starter of the year with probably in the likes giving out about football and the state of it. And it's like, because, well, it's Antrim against Donegal in a completely lopsided game in the first game of the championship, maybe it shouldn't be televised.
Speaking of punditry, Sky Sports, obviously, you mentioned they're going to kick things off with Cavan Monaghan, and one of their latest pundits is Kieran Donaghy, somebody I'm really looking forward to getting to see analyse games. I think they obviously needed to make some sort of big replacements for with McGuinness and Horan coming, and I think Donaghy was probably the standout candidate for that. Yeah. On that team, we actually caught up with Donaghy during the week, and he reflected on the fact that going into punditry and the pundit that he's going to style himself on.
My punditry style might be a bit different, because I'd be looking at different angles of stuff through my kind of basketball eyes, really. But I think a guy like Jim McGuinness, to be honest, for me, was watching Sky Sports and watching games, and I think Jim was, because I was so mad to hear what his thoughts were. So I guess that means he was kind of inspirational for me that way, which is I just wanted to hear his thoughts in the game from what he did with that Donegal team and where he got them to. I wanted to get his thoughts on all games and different teams and what teams were doing. And so he would have been probably the fella I would have tuned into the most.
That's good to hear. Both in terms of the style that he's going to go for and also how closely he monitors punditry, and you therefore hope that he would avoid the pitfalls that people like us always seem to be giving out about.
God, we're right moaning bastards, aren't
we? And funnily enough, we're one of the most positive GA outlets in the country.
I'm looking forward to him. I think him and Canavan together, I think there's that Tyrone Kerry thing again as well that I think they might have a little bit of fun with. I think they'll actually be a good clash, I have to say.
McGuinness had the perfect balance, I think, as well, between proper analysis and the, for want of a better phrase, the Roy Keane, Joe Brawley sort of, you know, he could get emotional and go on a bit of a rant about something if he was really annoyed by it. Yeah, like that it was that TV moment. Because it is hard to get the balance between just going through, you know, whatever it is, triangles and three-man weaves and how this happened, and having that bit of life about you and actually making a, you know, the odd side soundbite isn't the worst thing.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's like it's a debate between the kind of the realist and the kind of the waffly stuff that we're about to get into, because it's time to get into outlandish predictions. So just to clarify this, right, we've asked everybody in the office and in this room to come forward with their one outlandish prediction for the Gaelic Football Championship for 2019. So as an example, Angus in the office came up with this. So his contribution is Leitrim to reach the Super 8s. And he says, before you scoff, we realise this takes up some substantial amount of luck, but is the notion of high-flying Leitrim to the last 8 of the Championship really that inconceivable? First up, they play Roscommon, who may still be suffering the effects of relegation when the Division 4 finalists come to town. Moreover, Leitrim love nothing more than getting one over on their neighbours. Pull that off and then they'll likely face Mayo, a side they brought to penalties last January, don't forget that. Now, Lightning rarely strikes twice, but Terry Highland's men do have safety net of the qualifiers to fall back into. Land a soft draw or two there, and hey presto, Leitrim are playing Championship football deep into the summer. Carrick and Shannon is going nuts, and Derry Crowes, as is the tradition, keel over from the weight of their udders. It's destiny.
Right, it's outlandish shit.
It's outlandish. It's not. It's the best year you could have picked it.
Shouldn't be impossible.
Yeah.
But
PJ's. We also asked PJ Brown, a regular contributor in this podcast, and his one line prediction is: I know this sounds crazy. I know it sounds really unrealistic, but just give me a chance. A team other than Dublin is going to win the All Ireland Championship this year, which is a bit more of a long shot than Leitrim making Super 8s. Maybe, yeah. But
that was my first instinct, was to go with that. The 5 in a row will be stopped, and I don't think it's going to happen, but...
I've got one better here, lads.
Go on.
My outlandish prediction. Dublin to not get out of the Super 8s.
Right.
Hear me out. Now, I know this is 99.9% not going to happen, but I didn't want to make an outrageous outlandish prediction. And I think this one has a small possibility, because Dublin are going to win Leinster. They're in a Super 8s group, right, with the Connacht champions, Mayo or Galway. Both are going to be as good as, you know, opposition they'll probably face all year. They're also going to be in with the beaten Ulster finalists and whoever they play in the qualifier. So that's probably going to be, you know, it's either, like, in all likelihood, it's either Monaghan and then maybe Donegal or Tyrone. Again, all teams that are capable of beating Dublin in a Super 8s match, right? If they get through the qualifiers.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And then the other person in that group are the winners of the qualifier game and the Munster beaten finalists. So take it for granted that the Munster beaten finalists are going to lose. Should that be against someone decent, I don't know, say it is someone like a Cavan, or say it's whoever loses between Donegal and Tyrone, that possible Ulster semi-final, say they end up going through that route, all of a sudden you could have 4 Division 1 teams in that Super 8 group, and all of them capable of beating Dublin on their day. And if Dublin slip up, they could find themselves in trouble.
2 games in Croke Park.
As a counter.
Safety net.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Again, this is 99% not going to happen, but I think there's as much chance of them not getting out of the Super 8s as there is of them getting to an All-Ireland final and losing it. No, right. Probably not. When I consider they've got 3 games to get out of it, but do you know what I mean?
Mick, can you top that?
Mine's really boring. I was going to, like, I've kind of worked it out that after all the talk of Donegal, Tyrone and Monaghan is that I think that Cavan and Fermanagh is going to be the Ulster final. I think that Fermanagh beating Donegal in Brewster Park with Gallagher as their manager in the first round is actually a huge possibility. Then they come up against Tyrone, who, you know, might be still, like, might not be the team that we thought they were, I think, is like, you know, they get a little bit better as the league went on. But Fermanagh are just that hard-bet kind of team that you just wouldn't know what would happen with them. And I think they could easily win two kind of close, tight-knit games in a row. And I think if Cavan beat Monaghan in the first round, which they're at home for and they could do, they could easily get to an Ulster final. I think I'd fancy them to beat Armagh or Down. And then suddenly you're just looking at one of the weirdest Ulster finals in recent memory, you know?
I would say there is a better chance of Dublin not getting out of the Super 8s than of Fermanagh making the Ulster final.
Right.
I both Donegal, because you've got they've got to play Donegal and Tyrone in all likelihood.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably the top two teams in Ulster this year.
Yeah. Now, but Fermanagh could beat both of them on a day. And I think they're more like Fermanagh have more likelihood of beating Donegal and Tyrone over the course of 2 days than Dublin have a losing two games out of three.
Yeah, they only need to lose and draw one to go out to not get through the upgrades. I do think Cavan have a chance of making the Ulster final.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking about with a five. This is another one slightly. It's not that outlandish, but it's a. There's five. We're talking about five in a row all year now. That's going to be the thing. Let's call it five in a row and not drive for five, right? If possible as well. You know, so let's keep GA traditions together. My last memory of that, right, is that two times team have gone for five in a row. Kerry have gone for it in 1982. And they lost to the team that they beat in the final the year before. In 2010, Kilkenny were going for five in a row and they lost to the team they beat in the final the year before. And by that logic, the only possible explanation is that Tyrone are going to beat Dublin in the All-Ireland final.
That's not outside the realm's possibility. That's not an outlandish.
It is if they get knocked out the first round, if they get knocked out from Fermanagh in the Ulster semi-final.
They get knocked out from Fermanagh in the semi-final, they'll be knocking Dublin out in the Super 8s maybe.
Yeah.
They're probably the team that have demonstrated this, as they did in Croke Park, beating them in the league, the style that like they've exposed the way to beat Dublin as well. So certainly not the most outlandish prediction. Mine's not a prediction, right? Mine's a proposal. So
you invented this segment. Why can't you play to your own rules? You set the rules and then you went and did something completely different.
So mine's a proposal to help out Mick, actually, and Claire. So Claire need something more from this championship that from what they've gotten over the last couple of years, because they keep getting drawn on the same side as Kerry. Not to do Waterford a disservice, but they've drawn so they're semi-final
again this year.
And then they go out to the qualifiers. They've also lost Keelan Sexton. So they need something else to get them over the line to make a last round of the qualifiers, maybe make the Super 8s. I think there's a route there for them to make the Super 8s if they have a little bit extra, because think back to last year when they threw it away in the last minutes against Armagh. Armagh then lost in a really close game against Roscommon in round four. Roscommon went on to the qualifiers. By following that same logic, Kerr could make the Super 8s if they had something extra, but losing Sexton combined with the side of the draw drawn. And then I was thinking, what could they do to combat that? And I think they should make a pitch for Jermot Connolly, whose mother is from Clare, who used to go to the Clare games as a kid to watch them hurl, who it looks like isn't going to be involved with Dublin. According to Kieran Whelan, he suggested that Roy Carroll, we've known, is now back in, but Connolly, there's no
this is questions ever heard.
Ever. We've seen Conor Cox, who's from Kerry, whose father had the relation in Roscommon. He's gone and played at Roscommon. We've seen Smith from Dublin, who's playing with Skerries. He's gone down to play Westmeath. All these
not
players.
Only that, but we've seen Conor Talty, who's from Dublin and plays midfield with Brian Fenton at club football, go down and play for Clare in a Munster final.
Yeah, and his father's from Clare, even though he played for Galway.
So, by following this logic, Clare should just... Because we've seen, lads, I've seen it with my own eyes, Jermot Connolly is good enough to play inter-county football. So if it's not with Dublin, why not with Clare? Dare make a pitch for Jermot Connolly. Jermot Connolly comes in, fills that gap of sex and leaves. They make a Super 8.
Yes! They're going to make the Super 8s. They're going to win the All-Ireland.
Cullen Collins, thank me later. Just get on the phone.
Hold on.
Don't worry about it.
Hold on. The spine of your forward of your team then, you got like Brennan in midfield, Dermot Connolly centre forward.
And Tuberty, yeah.
And David Tuberty in the full forward line.
You could win
All-Ireland. I love it.
So that's mine.
Yes!
Mine's not necessarily a prediction, but it's a proposal. I think it should be followed up on. I will take some royalties for that idea as well. But I just following up on it, he's spoken in interviews in the past about going to, that's where his love of hurling came from, going to watch Clare hurl as a kid. I think the ability is there. It all makes sense. It all makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Good man, Dermot. In you come. The welcome wagon will be out.
Looking ahead,
does he like traditional music?
I don't know, but does it matter?
Just asking.
Looking ahead to this weekend, we've obviously got a pretty massive game for London, and Liam Gavigan is going to captain the most, so we can hear from him next.
What an evening, what a performance. One of the greatest wins ever by the Rossies. Up to Pier Stadium. Goal went 6-1 on to beat us by 12 points. What happened? The Rossies arrived into town. What did we do? We blew them into Galway Bay.
All right, I'm delighted to say now we're joined by Liam Gavigan of London Footballers. Liam, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
Great, yeah, great. I suppose this is kind of the exciting part of the week, kind of building up the championship right now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always the week building up into championship game, you know, exciting, and you get a bit of media around it and there's a bit more of a hype about it. So, yeah, definitely, this is what you train for all year, you know, for championship day. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
We spoke to you last year and you kind of spoke about the idea of the direction London were going and the improvements that you're kind of striving in. And I'm kind of curious, now that you're at the end of the league and the middle of the championship, this must be a really hard time for you to navigate, because you obviously put so much importance on a league and you have to kind of get yourselves back up again for a championship game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I quite enjoy the league because you're playing against, you know, teams that you're very competitive with, and you know, it's a good challenge. You have 7 games within 9 weeks, so it's really enjoyable game after game. So yeah, it's really enjoyable. But then, yeah, coming into Championship, obviously Galway this year, it's going to be a huge test. It's a big challenge, but it's one we're looking forward to, no doubt.
On the idea of so it's Galway and kind of your metrics for success, like when you sit down at the start of the year, would you be looking at anything tangible, or are you more kind of performance focused?
Yeah, I think we're more performance focused. I think we've always been performance focused. So even during the league campaign and other years, we look at performances. So if you get performance right, then you know you're within a game, and then, you know, during the game, then you can assess, and hopefully last 10 minutes, you're in with a chance, and hopefully drive it home and see where you are come final whistle.
Yeah, because we spoke just earlier in the podcast about the London Mayo game from 2011 and kind of the boost that could have given to London and what it ended up doing for Mayo. And I guess like that apple is always kind of tantalising. Like the idea of a big scalp is enough kind of motivation looking into a game like this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was actually that was my first year being involved in London back in 2011. So yeah, it was my first game, first championship game. So you know, it was a bit surreal, like the huge crowd that Mayo always bring over to London. So yeah, we got a massive start that day, and you know, at half time we were in with a shout, and then come the end of the game we're a couple of points up, only with a few minutes to play, and you're thinking, could it be? You know, it'll be a huge scalp, you know, getting Mayo. But unfortunately, you know, we got to extra time, and, you know, we probably ran out of their legs that day, and, you know, Mayo's class shone through in the end. But yeah, definitely, look, playing against somebody like Mayo, playing against somebody like Galway, you know, probably top 5 teams in the country. So, you know, you're trying to work off everything, you know, on the day, if things don't go right for them, you know, they might be a little bit off. Then it's an opportunity for us to pounce on. So, look, Sunday's another game, and hopefully we need to play 100%. We need to play top of our game, and then hopefully we can capitalize on, you know, any errors that Galway may bring.
Is there any, like, it's fascinating that you kind of have that as your starting point and your reference, I suppose. Is there any kind of motivation you can take from that, like this idea that you keep talking about, you know, performance driven games and things like that, that the fact that it would just take, you know, one great performance to maybe pull off an underdog scalp?
Yeah, definitely. Look, that's why we play daily football. You want to play against the best. You want to play against the best footballers in the country. You want to test yourself individually against these players, and then yeah, it drives you on. So someday, you know, we'll be going in it, you know, into a big battle, into a huge battle in Ryslip. Hopefully we'll have the crowd on our side, and you never know, you know, at the end of the day, it's a 2-horse race, you know, it's only 2 teams in it, and you just don't know. So on a day, you just got to give it your all, and then you see where you are come the last 10 minutes of the game, and hopefully you're in a battle, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned the how much you enjoy the league and the game-on-game approach. Would that have you kind of in favour of a two-tier championship that might lead itself to kind of more games with teams kind of based at your own approach for London?
I'd like more games in a championship, whether it's a two-tier where you have a second All-Ireland as such. I'm not so sure. You'd have to work it, because at the end of the day, you still want to play against the best. So yeah. I love playing against Galway. I love playing against Mayo. I love playing against the top teams in front of a big crowd. You know, it's kind of over here in London, it's what you train for. So I still would like to play against the top team. Yeah, definitely maybe, you know, you still have your provincial championships and then you fall back into a second tier after that, then yeah, I think it's something that I would like, because obviously you want to play more games throughout the summer. But yeah, I still would like to incorporate playing against the big teams, because at the end of the day, it's why I play football. You know, I want to test myself against the best and play against the best. So however that works, I don't know, but we'd have to maybe come to some sort of a solution.
It's funny you say that, because we spoke to the Sligo captain on the podcast last week as well, and he stressed the exact same thing, that he would hate the fact that he misses a chance at a kind of a bigger team, or that kind of motivating factor that you know when you're doing all those winter sessions that you're building towards that big game. Like, he would hate to see that lose out, and I guess from a player perspective, that's why you play, that's your motivation.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, whether you're playing, you know, Division 1 football, or whether you're playing Division 4 football, it's all the same. You're like, commitment levels are sky high, whether it's Division 1 or Division 4. So, yeah, it's huge commitment put in at all levels from all footballers. And that big day out, you know, it's what you strive for, and it's what you train. It's what you train for. So, if you took that away, then is the appeal really there? I'm not so sure. You know, you might get more lads thinking the commitment is so big, and like, what's it for? So I do believe, for me personally, I think having that big draw against a big team and, you know, playing against the best, it really drives me on to train and be the best that I can be. So I think personally, it has to stay in some way.
You know, last year we talked about the logistics from, you know, even just in terms of things like travel and stuff from a London perspective. And obviously it's a bit nicer, the fact that you've got a home game. But I'm still kind of curious, you talked about 2011, and it's funny when you look at the Mayo team and their kind of their progression, I suppose, if you want to call it that, from 2011, and, you know, what James Horan ended up doing with the team, and now that he's back, and the level of improvement. And I think London is a unique example, because you can't really traipse that line, because the biggest change, I suppose, is player turnover is so high. Like, in terms of even improvement of standards or interest in the game, have you seen enough that would kind of have you feeling positive about the direction London GAA is going in?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think if you go back to 2011, I think even like Killian O'Connor was a youngster then. I think he came on that day and kicked a couple of threes for me. And obviously there's a few, Aidan O'Shea was, you know, younger then, and you look at where they are now. So yeah, definitely. I think London are trying to bring that approach. I think Paul Coggins started off. Kieran Deeney's brought it on now, and I think yeah, there is more London born players, you know, in the London panel now, which is great. And also, I think, you know, in the next 5 years, I'm hoping there's more. I think there's a lot happening underage development wise. You know, we've got people going into schools, people going into clubs, training people. And also, I'm hoping the lads that are on the London panel at the moment, there's kids out there that are 12 and 14 that, you know, are looking up to us and going, hopefully one day I want to be there. Because when I was younger, you didn't have that as much, you know. It was mainly more Irish based people that you probably couldn't relate to, whereas now there is more of us there. So hopefully in a few more years, when the youngsters come up, that it will drive them on, and hopefully they'll play for London one day as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Even from your own perspective, I suppose, as somebody who obviously, you know, grew up in London and is now playing for London, would you feel a degree of responsibility, the fact that maybe, you know, you're all of a sudden kind of a role model for so many young London-based players looking to go on and play for what is their county?
I try and help the most I can. You know, even with my club at Chirconnell Gaels, I'll always, you know, go down to the underage trainings when I can, and, you know, get involved, and just so the kids so kids know me, and you know, the kids see there is a pathway into the county setup. When I was younger, when I was 12 and 14, we didn't really have that. You know, I was going out to games, maybe watching, thinking one day that I would like to play, but I never really had a relationship with any, you know, any inter-county footballer or anything like that. So, yeah, just from my experiences when I'm younger, I'm just maybe trying to just have a different approach and just kind of, you know, relating to the kids more. So, yeah, so they just know there is a way and there is a pathway, and, you know, just be dedicated, and hopefully a lot of lads do drop off when they get to 16, 17 and 18 for various reasons, other sports and, you know, work commitments. But hopefully they stay committed, and, yeah, one day we'll see a London team that's, you know, consisting of a huge contingent of London-born players.
Yeah, that would be great. You mentioned the work Kieran Daly is doing kind of on the ground, and that fact you've also got, so there's an added benefit in that you've got somebody who's held in pretty high regard in terms of the sport and science approach that he might be able to bring to his training. I'm just wondering about whether or not you've seen much kind of benefit from that.
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously Kieran comes from a soccer background within QPR, so he's brought people with him from QPR. And yeah, it is. Obviously, he relates a lot to, like, you know, soccer-based styles. So he loves quoting what Pep Guardiola does at Man City and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it is definitely within our training and within our games. There is a soccer approach to it. And obviously, it's all sports can be related in different ways. So, yeah, no, definitely we can notice a difference.
That's interesting. So you, I suppose, can take not only maybe philosophies from other sports, but also training methods.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of training methods. You can compare a lot of training methods between various sports. So soccer and Gaelic football, there's no different in pressing in soccer than in Gaelic football. You know, you still press the same. You have to press together, or else a likelihood of a turnover is not going to happen. So you can relate various sports together, and, you know, and get a similar outcome.
Finally, just before you go, you mentioned the support that Mayo brought in 2011, and obviously the fact now that you've got a home game this year. I'm just wondering, have you noticed any kind of improvement in interest on the ground and the London crowd that might turn up this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. There is big interest. I think there's a vast amount of tickets sold already. So, yeah, I think there's huge interest. There's always huge interest when Mayo or Galway come to town, and obviously there's a lot of Galway people over here. So, yeah, it's going to be a big crowd. I remember back in 2011, actually, Ryswick wasn't done up, and we had the dugouts, and at that time you had kids on top of the dugouts, and you're in the dugout, and they're banging. So it's a bit different now. But yeah, no doubt the crowd there, and hopefully it'll be a good day, and it'll be a good game, and everybody enjoy it.
That's magic. Liam, best of luck against Galway at the weekend, and hopefully we'll catch up again down the line.
Yeah, brilliant. No worries. Thanks a lot. What's that coming
over the hill? Is it a Tony Johnston? Is it a Tony Johnston? What's that coming over the hill? Is it Tony Johnston? Is it Tony Johnston?
Brilliant stuff there from Liam. Like, the idea of a scalp is so kind of remote, but it goes back to the idea that we talked about earlier in this podcast as well, is that, like, not every team has to have a realistic ambition of actually winning something in the championship, but just the idea that you could have one off a great day, even how remotely that sounds, is nearly enough.
Yeah. As Malachy Clark can put it, one day different.
If New York had beaten Leitrim in that game we were all listening to Willie Hegarty on the radio last year, that would have been enough to, you know, to get them through the rest of their careers. You know what I mean? That was the moment that they could have, like, you know, that all they almost got to eternity almost. Even what they did was nearly good enough to kind of give them that boost to go on. So, like, it's not always about winning trophies.
Speaking of winning, now that games are back.
I can't believe the championship is starting this weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a long old road into summer, but once it's here, it bloody happens all of a sudden, yeah. Doesn't it?
Guess the handicaps, lads. It's back. The reigning champion, I don't know who the reigning champion is.
I presume it's me.
Yeah, I'm willing to accept that.
I think it is, actually. I think you beat me in an absolute cracker before the league finals. Yeah. 3-2.
This is the greatest thing about this game, right, is because these games are, like, so hard to predict.
Wild.
Because, so we're going to start with London, as we just spoke to Liam. So I want Mark, as the reigning champion,
Fortress
I want you
Royslip, Mark.
I want you to tell me what the spread is. You got to think about this, right? Just think about it properly. Yeah. Galway with a huge amount of injuries. Damien Comer is obviously out.
Why are you helping him?
I'm going to say...
Who else are they missing?
Like, they're missing, effectively, they're, you could potentially talk about, like, six potential starters coming out of this team. Like, I know the only thing is, right, on that team, you've got players like, if, you know, you're missing midfielders, you bring back in Peter Cook or Kieran Duggan. You've got young people like Anton O'Lee and players like this. But all these players... players are... You know, are kind of, what would you call them? Unexposed. Like there is that element. Now I know that there's to a certain extent.
Is Cook not injured as well?
Cook is injured. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you're missing your six starters, potential starters, and also the potential replacements.
Yeah.
Which means
I don't know if you're missing all the potential.
I'd be saying that, like, I don't know, Mick. I'd be saying Galway could be outsiders of this.
Yeah.
If I was you, I might be guessing. Four
and look, sure, they're going to one of the hardest places to play.
If I was you, I might be guessing, you know, London minus something or other. But I'm going to take a punt on Galway minus 10.
It's more than that. Galway minus 14.
Oh, bang on.
Wow. Jeez, that's huge.
Jesus, I didn't think I'd get it back on.
That's impressive. Just to,
that's 2 points though.
Yeah. So you need this one. You badly need this one. Just to look through injuries. It's Eamon Brannigan, Damien Comer, Adrian Varley, Ian Burke, Liam Silk, Dylan Wall, Kieran Malloy, Jason Leonard, Kyle Sweeney and Patrick Sweeney obviously are missing from this camp.
Yeah.
Johnny Heaney came off injured at the end of the league. We're not sure what the story is there. That's a pretty unbelievable list.
It is. Ross Naroon is less than that.
It's a huge injury list, but just like why I think it was like 14 is like, you know, and listen to Liam there, and you really hope that the bookies are wrong and you'd love to see them give him a game, like, because you don't want anybody losing by kind of you know, 20 points or whatever, but like London aren't the team they were 2 or 3 years ago, and like, you know, they really did struggle in the league this year, and you just have to think that that was what they were even going for, and like Galway are on a different level than they have been in, like, you know, when London were making kind of finals or whatever, like there was no, like Galway weren't at this level that they are now, and even with injuries they have a huge strength and depth, like big squad there. I think they'll, you know, I can understand why you'd have a big spread.
We'll move on to the other game. Mick, you're up first here. So right. Mayo, this game is going to be remarkable. The amount of people that I've heard from Mayo talking about going to this game, like, there's surely not enough tickets.
They're unbelievable, aren't they? There's nobody like Mayo fans.
They're actually incredible. They're obviously complaining.
David Brady was saying it's worse to try to than people looking for All Ireland tickets off them.
So New York welcoming Mayo.
This is harder to call. Who knows anything about New York? They don't have Jamie Clark this year.
No.
They're missing a load of players.
Yeah, Hogan's not playing anymore either. Yeah.
Like, could a spread be? Is that Mayo minus 18?
I think it's more, but I need to get this spot on. So I would just go minus 19 to trump you.
Yeah,
but I could go minus 20.
Minus 20 is bang on.
Oh, no way!
Too old.
Oh, well done. Well done. That's good. I actually thought it might be more, but I played a conservative.
Yeah. Who would have thought that? As Morris said, two hard games.
We both got 14 and 20.
Right, as we need a tiebreaker.
Right.
So,
what have you got?
I'm going to ask you for the fifth place team to win the All-Ireland this year. And Mark, because
you're
the
fifth
champion,
favorite.
I want to know who the fifth favorite is. And because Mark is a reigning champion, Mark has given his answer first.
I have two in mind. And I know one of them were big odds, but they've gone in because I was tracking them. I'm going to say Galway.
I have Galway written down here as my pick, yeah. So just I am not going against it. I have literally wrote it down, so as proof. You have to pick a different one if they're both right. Or even wrong.
They're both right.
Six favourite?
No, in fairness, I thought of the... Right. Is it six favourite or I have now, to go first?
No, next question, Mick, you're up first.
Okay.
Who's the favourite, the number one favourite to win an All-Star as a forward for the Gaelic Football Championship this year?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, there's somebody jumping out at me, but surely he's not. Dean Rock.
I'm going to say Kieran Kilkenny.
It's neither, but Mark is closer because Kieran Kilkenny is second. It's David Clifford, lads.
David Clifford was who I was going to say.
I suppose he's guaranteed to get to the Munster final. The probably guaranteed to win Munster, get Super 8.
That was who I was saying. That's literally who, that's who I meant. I said there's one person that jumps to mind, but you're like, you can't have someone like that over a Dublin player.
Well, you can, because they're guaranteed to get to the Super 8s. Well, it's up to Dublin now as well. Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean,
snooze, lose.
He won Young Player of the Year after getting to a Super, not getting out of the Super 8s last year. So yeah, by that same logic,
but he scored. He had an unbelievable run of goals and miracle scores. And right, okay.
Congratulations,
well done,
Mark.
Congratulations.
We're out of time this week. Please do rate and review this podcast. If you're listening on the Boz.ie podcast feed, make sure to subscribe to the Boz.ie GA podcast feed as well. We'll have other long form interviews up there this week. Hopefully we'll speak to the New York manager during the week as well, and we'll have that up there too.
We also have a couple of new podcasts. We've got the Rewind Reviews. The Rewind is our pop culture section of Boz.ie, our recently launched pop culture section. And we have a player ratings from last night's Game of Thrones, as I mentioned, and also a spoiler filled review of Avengers Endgame, which I think pretty much the world and his mother are going to see at this stage.
Yeah, and our rugby show as well, which we had up yesterday, which had a really, really, really good interview with Tom Savage and Three Red Kings of Munster. Any Munster fans and rugby fans in general should definitely listen to that. And one more thing I want to mention before we go for in plug section is that we will be in Glen Rovers in Cork on Thursday night this week. Myself and Morris will be talking to some legends of hurling, Patrick Horgan. We'll be talking to Derek McGrath, Shawnee McGrath, Anthony Daly, Dalo himself, and sure, we might throw together a few bits and clips and stuff like that, and maybe throw them up on the feed before the weekend or maybe over the weekend. So maybe stay tuned for that as well. It's going to be a really, really good night.
Plenty to get your teeth into. You won't be able to watch Gaelic football, so why don't you listen to us instead? That's it for this week. Good luck.